While you listen to Bet Cozzy and Limo, imagine you were laying poolside in the Hospital Research Foundation Home Lottery's $3 million Somerton Park home. Yep, that sounds nice, doesn't it? Homelottery.com.au. Beck, Cozzy
and Limo. SAFM. Good morning, South Australia. I don't know who came up with the hashtag at Port Adelaide, but it's hashtag the greatest.
Oh, well, that's good.
A demand for the retirement of Robbie Gray. And oh my goodness, I felt flat yesterday for the retirement of arguably our greatest player.
Mm. Oh, a lot of people say he's your greatest ever.
I think he is. Yeah. I think he's the GOAT.
Who would you? Who else would you have in the camp? Gavin Wanganeen? Would he
You'd
be
have
in
to
the
have Wangers up there.
Treaders?
I don't know. Travis Boak, you'd have to be talking about.
Boakie will, yeah.
You could choose one player, Boak or Gray.
Well, Gray has seized victory from the jaws of defeat for us so many times.
And he spoke well at his presser yesterday.
At this sort of age and probably the issues I've had physically with my body, I knew it was the right time. And as hard as it is to make the call and admit to yourself, I suppose, it is the time. Looking forward to whatever's next.
Oh, wow.
On 12 separate occasions, he's put you in front in the last quarter of games.
Has he?
Just not this year.
It's pretty amazing. Just not this year. But the greatest ever for me, and Bec, you were probably there at Adelaide Oval against St Kilda, down by 4 points with, I think, 11 seconds left in the game.
Yeah.
Boundary throw in about 70 metres out, and this happens.
They have to just watch and see how it plays out. Ryder over the back. Oh. Path of Robbie Gray. He's a superstar for the power. He goes long. Has it got the legs? Yes.
Wow.
Robbie Gray's kicked a big goal.
So suddenly,
you've got
the teams playing showdown on Saturday night, and it's Robbie Gray's last game.
Yes.
It's Robbie Gray's last game. So as a coach, if you're Hinkley, love him or hate him, all he needs to do pre-game is go, Robbie, here, please, stand up front, and then you go, guys, this man's bus, he's clacking for this team. Are you going to let him down tonight? Are you going to look Gray in the eye and let him down? I'm just thinking as a Crows fan too, how do we coach against that? Like, do you have to make a phone call and say, Who's going to retire? Does Tex? Is the only way we're going to win showdown if Tex retires? And do you say to Tex, mate, I'm sorry, you're going to have to retire. You're the most loved player, and we're going to have to let you go so we can compete with the Gray factor.
Although Tex is playing well, can you retire Rory Sloane just for this weekend?
That's not a bad idea.
All year.
That's not a bad idea.
Get him out the front. Hobble up with the knee. Yes. Limp up to the top.
You need the photo on the front page of the paper. Sloane's got beautiful, cute kids and cute wife and everything. That'd be good on there. Yeah. That'd motivate the supporters.
It doesn't always work. North Melbourne were terrible on the weekend, got flogged by the Crows, and it was Ben Cunnington after 18 months, his comeback game from having cancer.
Gosh.
So they weren't able to deliver. And Josh Kennedy for the West Coast Eagles, it was his last game.
Yep.
They were terrible. Mm. So the Crows could still win this thing.
I'm pretty confident.
and then you look at us as a breakfast show. I mean, if we wanted to surge number one by miles, one of us three might have to retire, and if that was the case,
who'd
be closest to retirement age? Take one for the team!
Get that funny feeling in the morning.
Bec, Cozzy and Limo for breakfast.
Rebecca Morse is terrible at parking.
Guys, every morning you watch me attempt to get into my car park downstairs on Franklin Street.
Oh, it's a sport. Sometimes I just love seeing how long it takes you to park.
I have genuine car park anxiety.
Can I tell you something? You make car parks very anxious as well.
I'm going to have to strike Westlakes Westfield off my list of places to park because there was a very long line for the boom gate. And I was like, hang on a minute, what are these clowns doing? There are three boom gates to get out.
I'm smarter
than this.
Yeah.
So I go around to the middle boom gate.
Yeah.
And then I realise the two boom gates on the right are to get in.
To get in.
So I'm now stuck. Just as I start my three-point turn, two cars come in, one for either boom gate.
No.
Well, I didn't do the three-point turn. I just did the reverse of shame.
Yes.
But then I had to reverse in front of all the people who I'd cut past to the front of the other boom gate.
They're like, oh, she's coming back.
Well, we decided to address one of your car parking issues, which is the width of the car park downstairs here at SAFM. You have claimed for ages that it's too thin.
Yes.
So we thought we'd go down and measure it, and this is what happened.
I am absolutely convinced that this park is way too small. Every morning I have three goes at getting in it, and I struggle to keep within the lines.
Let's do the measuring, because if there's one thing I can say about me and Coz, it's that we love Rebecca Morse, and we always, always give her the benefit of the doubt.
Do we know what the size of a regulation car park
okay,
is?
Okay, so from edge to edge should be 2.4 metres.
Here we go. Here is the official... Here is the official...
Mental note, we just had to stop so Limo had to put his glasses on. What do you got?
No, you can't take it going... there. This is where my car has to be.
The standard size of a car park, 2.4 metres. This is 2.41 metres.
Yeah, no, but this... No. You take it from here because this is where I have... This is the space that I have...
Okay, there is a pylon in Beck's car park.
The pylon encroaches 10 centimetres onto the car park.
There you go.
Oh. Which is the distance that the car should be from the line anyway.
Yeah.
The pylon actually should help you park exactly where you should park.
If I misjudge, the pylon takes off my side mirror. And I want my mirror. I need my mirror. If anyone needs their mirrors on their car, it's me.
Yeah. Cos, let's measure the width of Beck's car.
Oh, OK, great.
1.95 metres.
That's a tight park. That is a very tight park.
It's actually pretty tight, isn't it? Now, it is pretty tight. I'll give it to you. It's pretty tight. Mm. However, it's just as tight as mine because we share the same pylon. That pylon encroaches 10 centimetres into my
park. We've got joint custody.
You're swap sides one day. I've always thought my side of the pylon's a lot happier than your side of the pylon. And it's a lot less scared.
There's a lot less scrape marks on your side.
Get that Adelaide feeling. With Bec, Cozzy and Limo for breakfast.
Every Tuesday, I spend all day editing South Aussie with Cozzy, which I do out at a studio at Fairview Park. So when I finish the show here at SAFM, I jump in the car, cruise up Northeast Road, normally stop at Chicken Chef on the way, large chips, even though it's kind of 10:30, and then make my way to Fairview Park, spend the day there. That's exactly what I did yesterday. I'm at my editor's house where there's a studio out the back. So I was there all day, and after that, I had to drive straight to the wine centre to host the Kennards Hire annual dinner. So between trips, I thought to myself mid-afternoon, God, geez, wouldn't mind going to the toilet just quietly. Now, when I say go to the toilet, you know what I mean.
Something you don't want to do in your editor's home.
That's right. He's good enough to have me in his home. I'm not going to.
It's really a thing for the workplace, public toilet, or your own home.
So,
Probably not the workplace, to be honest.
And the last 2 hours we spent editing together, we were chopping up a segment on AFL Max, and every second shot I could see the toilet in the background of the shot. Anyway, so when I got in the car, I'm like, okay, I'm going from Fairview Park to the National Wine Centre. Now, I'm not going to get straight to my gig and go, hi, everybody, excuse me for a minute. Like, you can't do that. So I start hunting for a public toilet. Now, as you know, like, I've done a bit of stuff with OTR.
Yeah.
Could I stop there, walk in, and just use the toilet? I think not.
Okay, come on, surely the OTR genie can pop up in a toilet there.
You've unlocked the magic crap. No, I'm sorry.
Oh, I can see the next promo for OTR. Yeah.
And I preface this by saying I feel a bit uncomfortable talking about this. So I leave Fairview Park. I'm driving down Yatlavar Road like I always do. I get about to sort of Surrey Downs, Golden Grove area, and I think it's called Tilly Reserve. It's near Hancock Road, and I see oval, I see club change rooms, and I see infrastructure. Right. And I don't see a single person. I'm like,
perfect.
This is great. Could it be possible that there's toilets here and they're open? So I do a drive-by, just have a bit of a look in the South Aussie with Cozzy car, and I spot a toilet with a clearly open mesh door. I'm like, I'm in like Flynn here. So I pull in.
I've got to say, I'm getting some creepy vibes as an onlooker to this situation.
It just looked bad. But the thing in my favour was there was no one around, so I thought this is a great outcome. I was very happy at this point.
Yeah.
So I get out of the car, I shut the door and I lock it. I take about 10 steps from the car and I hear a little voice. Hey, Cozzy! I'm like, oh, no. Yeah. Oh, no. I turn around, there's this kid, a little boy all of 8 or 9. And he's got the face lit up. He's so excited. He's like, Cozzy! And I go, hey, mate. And he says to me a sentence that I'll never forget for the rest of my life.
Yes.
He's seen the Channel 7 car. He's seen me. And he just says to me, are you giving anything away?
As it turns out.
I said, yeah, I am. But I don't know if what I'm giving away here out at Surrey Downs is something you want, little fella.
Get that funny feeling in the morning. Bet Cozzy and Limo for breakfast.
Now, we love working here on the SAFM Breakfast Show, local to Adelaide, this breakfast show. Mm. But Rebecca Morse, the most prominent, important member of our team, has a national reputation.
Oh, she does, absolutely. And if you look around breakfast announcers here in Adelaide, she's certainly the queen, the numero uno. Mm. And you've only got to read the bumper stickers on her car to know that.
To know that. She stands out above the pack.
I don't know
with
where you're going with this.
National reputation.
Yes.
And we know that the drive show, the national drive show on a competing network, yes. Nova, mm. I believe they have a regular segment, Newsreaders of Australia, and they were talking about Rebecca Morse. This is going back a while now, and Joel Creasy had this to say.
Rebecca, what's her name, from Adelaide? I love her. She's fun.
Rebecca, what's her name?
I'll take that from Joel.
Then I bumped into Joel in a green room somewhere.
No need to brag.
And it was literally the day after that happened that I raised it with Joel. I said, do you know who this person even is?
I'm here with Joel Creasy. I am, of course, the co-host in the SAFM Breakfast Show with Rebecca.
Oh, what's the name? What's the name? Morse.
Oh, yes.
I love Rebecca Morse.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan.
He knows.
Yeah.
He knows.
There we go. So Joel said to me, no, I just had a mental blank.
Oh, it happens to the best of us.
Of course I know who Rebecca Morse is. I love her. She's a superstar. And then they were doing their rounds of newsreaders across the country again yesterday. And this happened.
Not again.
Who's your big anchor in Adelaide?
My friend Rebecca.
Oh,
and they've
yeah.
already played this on air once on their show when I couldn't remember her name.
Oh, Joel.
And now this is the second time. Rebecca, she's divine.
Rebecca.
Oh, why do I keep...
I always like...
At least I know her. No, she's awesome. Rebecca Morse. Oh, my God, I feel like such a tool.
Oh, yeah, Rebecca I remember Morse. Her. Beep, 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 beep,
beep. Last time I did this, I didn't get her name right, and then she's on another competing radio show. They pulled the grab of me not getting her name right and played it.
Well, they can pull this grab now.
Hi.
And morning, guys.
Hey.
Yeah. Turn on Nova.
Yeah, SAFM, gotcha. Is that?
They'll cut that out.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Morning, SAFM. play that, I dare you, because we would. Who cares?
I know. We'd
like, who cares?
Yeah, well, seriously, who does care? So there it is. Rebecca, what's your name?
Good afternoon, Nova.
Maybe we could start helping each other. Like, I mean, they've talked about
like
us.
Like a collab.
Now we're talking. Like a collab.
Yes.
Yeah, we could become like a band. Mm. Like, for example, at the moment at SAFM, we're looking for Black Thunder pilots. Like, we're recruiting brand new Black Thunder pilots. Nova National, I dare you to play that. Can you help us out?
Oh, you mean you want them to play this?
Play this back, and then that'll help us get better applicants for Black Thunder. I could picture Tim Blackwell as a Black Thunder pilot. Wouldn't he be beautiful?
Tim, what's his name?
Tim. There's no way they're playing this.
They are not playing this.
Love you, Joel.
Get that Adelaide feeling.
With Bet, Cozzy and Limo for breakfast.
Dex Fit.
Guess who was sitting at poolside at the Oaks Port Douglas Resort? Nice resort in far north Queensland. We're given quite a show, and as you do with your camera phone, you whip it out and you record the moment. A 45-year-old woman, we know she was 45 because she repeatedly tells us, as you're about to hear, staff basically very politely, a female worker squatted down by the pool and said,
young
girl please
too.
Get out of the pool.
The staff there, she was very cool, that female worker at the pool.
Well, you couldn't hear it really. What she
but
was,
she looked cool as a cucumber, looked, like she was all under control and being quite chill about the whole arrangement.
So she was sort of walking around the pool holding her cocktail, obviously intoxicated, and the staff asked her to get out of the pool.
I mean, fairly simple. You can't drink your drink in the pool. Could you please get out?
Sure you can. I've drunks in the pool. Drunks in the pool. I'm not drinking drunks in the pool now.
Are you okay?
Wow.
Anyway, she was obviously clearly intoxicated, as you can hear.
You're 45 year old on a holiday having a joking, are you? You're joking, are you? Get me out! Get me out! Oh
Oh, yeah. No.
Her behaviour's disgusting.
Oh, you would have some severe anxiety seeing that video of yourself.
The lack of respect that's going on right now in the world from humans is terrible. Everyone just thinks they've got like a mountain of rights and it's just all about them. It's terrible.
Well, you've got to think about other people in your world. That's the type of video when someone says to her in a year's time, hey, why did you give up drinking?
Then
she'll show that video and go, that's the turning point right there. Often people aren't that aware of that behaviour, but when they see a video back, is when they'll go, oh, really?
I know.
Was that me?
Anyway, the cops were called to get her out of the pool.
Well.
I reckon the human society is at a massive crossroads. I think we need to pull our heads in as a race of people. That is terrible behaviour. Absolutely disgusting.
That's where you draw the line in the sand.
That's the tipping point.
That's when you knew you wanted to find a new planet.
Drunk a woman
for
in
her.
Okay. Tom Holland, Spider-Man, has announced that he's taking a break from social media. He said it's bad for his mental health to continually be reading comments about himself. And it is true. Social media is very damaging.
Is social media ever good for someone's mental health, do you think? Like, I mean, anyone, I don't think there's much to gain from it.
If you get the positive, if you read the positive comments, it's great.
Yeah.
Mm. Sadly, you can't filter out. There need to be two columns.
Yeah.
Negative comments go here, positive comments go here.
But yeah, look, I spend way too much time on social media. But Amy Schumer, a comedian, has taken the piss and said she's doing the opposite.
Hey, y'all. I've decided for my own mental health to do more social media. I find that looking at my phone for 8.5 hours a day is helping me. And it's helping this pimple patch.
What I do find amusing about when people take breaks from social media is when they announce that they're back from a break and they go, oh, hi guys, good to be back. Just took a bit of a break from social media, put my phone down. And I went, hang on a minute. No, you didn't. And I look at their last post, it was like 6 days
and
ago.
And it's also like, mate, no one missed you. No one missed you enough to do an announcement. You're not John Farnham. You don't need to tell us you're coming back again and again.
No one has anyone ever noticed when someone's taking a break from social media. Never, not once.
I took a 2-day break.
All right.
No, I didn't.
Get that funny feeling in the morning.
Bet, Cozzy and Limo for breakfast.
Popped into the supermarket the other day to do a little bit of shopping, stock up on some supplies. You know I love my fruit. I come in every morning.
Yes.
With my fruit.
You don't want to get scurvy.
I do not want to get scurvy.
You normally start the day with an apple.
I do, an apple, and then I have a banana.
Mm-hmm.
And on some days, I'll have a nectarine as well.
Gosh. What, on a Friday?
Well, I like to spoil myself randomly. So I went to the supermarket. I got myself some bananas, apples.
Yeah.
Men's fruit chocks. And
what about ladies' fruit chocks?
Oh, dear. Really?
Only you could bring gender into fruit chocks.
Women can have fruit chocks too, you know. And I got myself some nectarines. Anyway, I went to the self-serve.
Yep.
I won't say which supermarket I was at because that'll become apparent why shortly. I go to the self-serve and then I just tap on with my phone.
Yeah.
And then I get home and I, you know, the little receipt pops up on your phone. I'm like, hang on, that's a lot of money. So I went and checked the receipt, which is something I never do.
Yeah.
But I had a look at the receipt. Get a load of this and tell me if you think this is a bit out of whack. 0.355 kilograms of nectarines, that's two nectarines, at $29.90 a kilogram.
$29.90?
That's a lot.
$10.61.
Who do the nectarines think they are? Pistachios?
That is $5 a nectarine.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you're not from the fancy meat section of the...
Did you self-serve? So did you, when you put, do you put the nectarines on the thing?
I put the nectarines on the thing.
Oh, so it's probably your stuff up, is it?
Maybe you lent, oh no, it was the price though, not the weight that was
the problem. No, it was the $29.90 a kilo.
Yeah.
So how do you scare? How do you? Do you have to punch in a number or I don't even use?
No, you just put it in. I look it up. So it says A to Z, and I go in. I go find N, and
just go to a human being, mate.
No,
keep the jobs.
I normally
keep the jobs. I refuse to use them.
I normally do, but the queue is too long.
Is there anything to stop you putting nectarines through as carrots? Like there might be $1.99 a kilo.
You know what it does? It says it out loud after you do it.
So it shames
you. So when I did the apples, for example, the machine goes, there are your pink lady apples. And it says it out loud so people can kind of look over and check that they're pink lady apples. So I got home, but I went, well, what do you do now?
Did you go back?
I didn't go back.
Oh, you have to go back. $5 each. Back.
I didn't go back. They were juicy nectarines. They weren't $5 worth.
How can you enjoy them at $5?
Oh, well, you try a little harder to enjoy them at $5.
Just got to think about the next person whose nectarines go through at $29.90. It's a community service, mate.
I'm wondering if this has happened to other people.
Yeah.
And I'd love to hear from you this morning. On 131060, did you notice a mistake on your receipt? And how big was that mistake? Mm. Did you get home and realise that all of a sudden you've been charged $100 a kilo for apples or something?
Yeah, and I also want to know what you did from there. Like, were you overcharged or undercharged? And did you follow it up? Yeah, see, I reckon everyone's got to check their receipts every time. I say to the kids and the wife all the time, walk out the shop, check the receipt and move on.
Check to see. I never check the receipt.
Really?
You used to work in a supermarket.
Yeah, I check the receipt. I also reckon sometimes I'll hear a beep beep. I'm like, well, there was a double scan for sure.
Oh.
So I always have a little cheeky little look.
Oh, you check
Is the rule still if they stuff up the cost, then you go back, you get that item for free?
I believe so, yeah.
That was the case. I haven't done that for ages.
When I was at Blackwood Foodland, that is for certain.
Mm. All right. Ingrid in Largs North, what happened to you?
So it was actually my ex-mother-in-law.
Yes.
And this was before you could just tap. You had to put your PIN number in every single time.
Yeah.
So she bought a shirt and it was $59. And then when she got home, she checked her receipt and she'd been charged $590.
Oh, wow. So what did she do, Ingrid? Straight back to the shop, obviously.
Yeah, she rang them and they're like, oh, my God, we're so sorry. And then, yeah, she went back to the shop and they refunded her the difference.
Oh, that's decimal point in the wrong place.
That can be expensive. Thank you, Ingrid. Peter in Keswick, what happened to you?
G'day, mate. I was at Big W going shopping for an outdoor umbrella and went out there, found one, and it was one of those about $150 ones. Yep. So I scanned in indoors. Mm. And it come up as $1.50.
Wow.
Oh. So I grabbed a bunch of lollies so it didn't look too sus.
Peter.
And the youngest checkout person I could find.
Peter.
And went straight through and got it.
Oh, Peter. That's not okay, Peter. You stole.
Yeah. No, that's a win for the little guy.
Big W's doing it.
You can't, Peter.
Don't do that at your local hardware store.
Dealing.
Big W. Yeah.
Peter, I would feel too bad. Like, I would feel too bad that the karma would come and get you after doing that.
Yeah, come on.
Get that Adelaide feeling.
With Bet, Cozzy and Limo for breakfast.
For this.
Oh, my God, have you seen that in the group chat?
Yes, one of the common themes in my group chat is the ageing process and signs of it and whether we should slow it down or whether we should just embrace it. I'm doing a little bit of both. I want to age sort of gracefully, but I want to do some stuff along the way.
Does getting old worry you, like seriously?
Yeah, it does for health reasons, but also I'm a little bit vain. You guys know that.
Don't make this awkward for us.
I hadn't noticed. Cos, did you notice?
Don't look at me.
Good answer. But if you say so, then sure.
I take pride in my appearance.
Don't you reckon? I used to be, up till I was 30, really worried about getting old.
Mm.
And then I reckon if you do whatever you want in life and you go and have a crack and spend time with your mates and that, live the life you want, who cares?
I think for women, though, there are health impacts through pretty, like, menopause and that kind of stuff. I feel like you guys,
you're looking at me and you're telling me you've got health impacts coming.
I know, but why
are you looking at me?
Well, no, because I know that you hurt your knee in bed, for example. So you're I mean, sleeping.
I did. Yeah, no, I went to bed fully fit and woke
exactly.
up injured.
Do you worry about getting old, Limo, or doesn't bother you?
I only worry about it in terms of my son.
Yeah.
So that's the only
I want to have as full a life as I can with him and be as active as I can.
Yeah.
With him.
And hobbling around with the sore knees.
Is not the way to go about it. So I think of aging, purely in terms of Laddie.
Yeah.
So if I didn't have a son, I'd have a very different view on it, I reckon.
That's why you should adopt a 27-year-old.
Yeah.
All right. Well, another sign of aging, sadly, that does worry women more than men is the greys that start sprouting through. And do you pluck it if you get a lonely grey?
Can I ask you a question first? What was your reaction when you saw your first ever grey hair?
Well, I blame it on stress. It was just after I lost my job at Channel 10 and I was like, damn it!
Okay.
It's your fault. It was a little bit of a shock.
Did you cry?
Yeah.
No, I didn't cry.
But do you ring a friend straight away and go, oh my God?
No, I remember when a girlfriend found her first grey. downstairs.
Oh.
She was traumatised. She shared that.
Oh, right. Okay.
I mean, that's something I probably wouldn't share, especially on air.
I didn't say who it was.
No, it's not that. It's just...
Okay.
It's fine. We can talk about these things. That's what the group chat's all about. These are the things we as women discuss.
Your mother doesn't have grey hair, though.
No, she colours her hair.
Oh, does she?
She's in her 70s and colours her hair, which I intend to also do.
So you've got three choices. You've got colour, pluck, or embrace it.
Which is fine.
Can't pluck them all out.
No, but this is the thing. This is why the article that I have discovered, because there is a bit of a myth. If you pluck one, that three will come to its funeral. Have you heard that one?
No.
Right.
Really?
Yeah. But apparently that's a myth. Apparently it's just bad to pluck because you could go prematurely bald. And you don't want that either.
You don't want premature baldness.
So you just have to either embrace it or colour. And the good thing is about being blonde is my greys kind of look silvery blonde.
Do they though?
Yeah, I've never noticed greys.
Thank you.
No.
Much.
I was surprised.
I'm joking. I've never noticed them.
I was surprised when you said the other day that you had some grey hair.
Yeah.
No, I was just literally surprised.
I like that. You've got a couple of thatches in your beard.
Yeah, and see, this is interesting because you said to me the other day, oh, got a bit grey in your beard, but I would never say to a female, oh, got a bit grey up top.
Oh.
No.
But that's because men, for example, like Clooney, can go salt and pepper and it'd be hot. So what I meant is that's a really hot grey patch in your beard.
Are you saying?
So when I had my massive grey beard last year, that was...
Try stopping it, mate. Try stopping it.
Did you see I had to push my chair further away?
You reckon we cancelled the Christmas show because of COVID?
Get that funny feeling in the morning.
Bet, Cozzy and Limo for breakfast.
I tell you what, Macklemore hasn't done many interviews.
No, quite private.
No, but he did agree to sit down with... the toughest interviewer of them all.
Who
did
you get that?
I don't know who's managing my son these days.
I think you do.
Oh, do I? Well, he managed to sit down with Macklemore. Mm-hmm. And let's have a listen to it. Tough talk.
Hey, Macklemore, are you ready to talk tough?
Yes.
Are you sure? You sound nervous.
I'm very relaxed.
Can you say something nice about Australia to help sell tickets for Friday's Live?
I love Australia.
That's it. Really?
I love the people.
Okay, we're getting there. Anything else?
As a general group of people, you don't get better than Australians.
That's the way. We might start selling some more tickets now. Okay, go again.
Australians are the nicest people, I believe, in the world that I have come in contact with.
Okay, calm down.
Everyone has a great sense of humor.
Thank you. What do we like of your shows?
In terms of the shows have always been...
Crazy. I knew it.
The people show so much love.
I bet they do.
I just really enjoy touring.
Oh, why? That's enough. Now, can you be honest with me?
You know what? If we're being really honest, then I feel like I can't be with you.
Aside from Australia, what else do you love?
I love this chair.
It looks comfy. Do you want to say anything about Shaggy?
My first daughter was conceived during a Shaggy concert.
I don't even know what that means. I'm six. Hey, Macklemore. Thanks for talking tough.
I love this chair.
You already said it.
Wow, what a
like during a Shaggy concert, like backstage or watching it at home?
He never divulged the exact details. Okay. It says conceived at the Shaggy concert in Germany.
Get that Adelaide feeling.
With Bet, Cozzy and Limo for breakfast.
Rusty, my cameraman, and I have been mates now for nearly a decade. He does all the filming for South Aussie with Cozzy. I spent a lot of time with him on the road and also at his place getting the camera gear and so forth. I went there the other day to pick up some stuff, and he's been telling me about this new dog that he's got. It's a Cocker Spaniel. It's about 6 months old, and he absolutely loves it, and his daughters are just having a field day with it. Anyway, so I rock up to his house, and this dog comes bounding out, and I go, oh, it's your new bloody dog. How good's this? I haven't had a chance to see it yet. Dog comes bounding over. I play with it for a little while. I'm like, righto. Then I get to that point where you're with someone else's dog and I go, okay, I'm done.
My parents have a Cocker Spaniel and it's not very bright.
Oh.
It's not very bright. What have you given it a test?
It's sort of... I don't know.
What are you comparing it to?
compared to other Cocker Spaniels? Or
other breeds. Anyway, go on.
You said the Cocker Spaniel's a bit dim. Is that what I'm hearing?
There's his.
Yeah, you can whisper it. We can still hear it.
So we're at that point now where the dogs, I've played with enough and I'm like, right, I just now need to get the hard drive off you and talk about some footage and stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, the dog just wouldn't leave me alone. So then it's kind of like, well, it's not my dog to say enough's enough. Like, I well and truly wanted that relationship between me and that puppy to end because I really had lots to do.
You paid too much attention early.
I think I did.
And as we know from Beck, they're a bit dim, so the dog wasn't going anywhere.
I showed it too much love, and then Rusty just chatting away. And that sometimes, I say this to all dog owners, and myself included, sometimes the dog owner needs to say, all right, get back here.
That's
get
enough,
out.
Yeah.
You know, which he didn't to his puppy at this point. And I was there. Next thing, it started getting very fond with my leg.
Okay, it started getting a bit frisky.
Really fond of my leg.
Okay.
And I'm talking, it had its paws wrapped right around my leg and was
trying to mate with your leg.
Yeah.
You do have shapely calves.
God, eh?
it's a hot leg, let's be honest.
Maybe it thought it was a greyhound.
I don't think it thought it was a greyhound.
So I shook it off at the start, and don't get me wrong, I'm normally a very open and liberal kind of guy, but I shook it off. It was an unwanted advance, and I actually gave it a bit of a flick because it had its paws wrapped around me, so I flicked it far enough that it probably went about a foot. Because I wasn't in the mood to take that.
He wasn't in the mood.
Anyway, next thing.
No flowers, no chocolates, just right into my leg.
A drink first.
Not 10 seconds later, it's back on me and it's going flat out.
Okay. Well, it'll.
Now, I'm flattered at the compliment. Can't get This is. Now I'm starting to get pretty annoyed with it. Because I'm like, I've said no, and enough is enough, and get the hell away from me.
Are you flattered on some level, though?
Oh, yeah, part of me was, because it chose my legs over his.
So
we're standing there, and by the way, we're only about a metre and a half apart. He can clearly see what's going on. Mm. And then I'm thinking, is he going to stop this? He did nothing. And then I thought to myself, has he trained the dog to do this?
Oh, right. Hey, was your left leg getting jealous of your right leg?
It got to the point where I said to him, hey, Rusty, your little dog, Danny, I said, Have you had a D-sex yet, 6-month-old male?
Mm.
He goes, yeah, we did about 6 weeks ago.
Right.
I said, it's not bloody working.
Get that funny feeling in the morning.
Bet Cozzy and Limo for breakfast.
I had a bit of a dilemma on the weekend. We were over in Melbourne. I took Lad to the MCG to watch Hawthorne Richmond. And I got my phone out and recorded the conversation because it was kind of making me laugh, but it was also bothering me. This is a chat we had walking around the MCG before the game on Sunday.
Can I get a Richmond jumper?
No, you're Hawkers, mate.
If there's no Hawthorn jumper there, I'm getting the black and yellow jumper.
No. You can only bear it for one team. You can't have two teams.
Why can't we bear it for two teams?
So which two teams do you want to bear it for? Hawkers and who else?
Richmond. I go for Hawkers and Richmond.
No, you always bury for Hawkers, okay?
Oh, but I want the jumper.
No, you're not getting a Richmond jumper.
Richmond jumper.
Right.
So cute.
We are a Hawthorn house, and that is that. I don't want any other footy teams coming into our house. You are a Port house through and through, Rebecca Morse.
Yeah, but we're a divided family. My parents and my sister's family go for Crows.
Oh. See, this can cause issues.
What about your eldest daughter's boyfriend?
He is still Crows.
Yes.
But he's slowly being converted. He hasn't worn a scarf yet, but he goes to the games with her.
When you say converted, do you mean bullied or pressured?
Pretty
coerced.
Coerced.
Let's say coerced. Alison in Camden Park, do you live in a mixed footy household?
Oh, definitely. We have Port, Crows and Carlton.
Oh, see, how are you going in the lead up to the showdown?
Oh, well, the ribbing from my oldest son hasn't started yet, but we went and saw the Carlton game at the MCG on the weekend, and for a Crows support, I was barracking for my husband's side, and it was very strange.
Who's going to win on the weekend, Alison?
Oh, Crows for sure.
Right. Oh, see, wow. Alison, can you all watch the game together on Saturday night?
Not without some sort of argument.
Yeah.
So,
this is what happens.
That's complicated.
When you've got Port fans and Crows fans in the one house. Andrea in Virginia, is this happening to you?
Yes, it is. I've got a bit of a mixture all around. My husband goes for Port and I go for Crows. And growing up, we had the same issue. My auntie was Port and we were Crows. And my dad and his brother-in-law, they had a bet with my younger sister that they would try and convert each other's child by five.
Right.
So it was a bit, so we had a lot of, it's been going on for years. just have this rivalry.
I don't think other states understand. Like, remember how we had that big fight, how I said I didn't want you to support us in the
Support
Port last year?
Terrible.
I will not barrack for the Crows. I don't understand South Australians who have the Crows as their second team if they're Port fans. I don't understand it.
Well, people either fall into two groups. They're your group. Yeah. I'd never barrack for them, or it's the second team.
And for me, it's like if say Port had made it through to the finals, yeah, I would go for Port because I would rather see South Australians happy.
Nah. Sorry.
Let's go to Amanda in Prospect. Does it get messy under your roof, come showdown?
Yeah, it does. My 10-year-old son is a Port supporter and the rest of the family is a Crow supporters.
But how did you lose him to Port, Amanda?
My sister-in-law is a Port supporter, and when my son Tyler was born, she just kept on drilling into his head that he loves Schultzy, and his first words were Schultzy, and he had his hands in the air.
Oh, that's bless.
Smart. Yeah, once they love get a favourite player, that kind of lodges them. Jody is in Christie's Beach. What's happening in your family?
Well, so we've got 5 that are Port Adelaide members and 1 Crow member.
Is the Crow one older or younger, or how's that?
That's my partner. So me and the kids are all Power members, and he's a Crow member. But we do drag him to all of the Power games, but we go to no Crows games.
Jody, how did you get all the kids?
They love me more.
Hey. Okay, Rosa, out in Enfield, finish us off here. Have you got a split family when it comes to the footy?
Sure do. Mama Bear is Crows and all the rest are all Port, sadly.
Is Dad Port and they've all followed Dad, is that right?
Unfortunately, yes. Not quite sure how, but, Mummy does everything for them, but somehow they've still followed Dad for the Port side, the dark side.
Does it end in many fights, or do you just kind of just go with the flow?
Oh, yeah. No, we don't go to any games together because it's never amicable. I've been to one, and I'll never go with him again. So much so, he even wants to buy me a corporate ticket to the showdown this weekend because it's my birthday, and I refuse to go.
Rosa. I'll take the corporate tickets.
There's a bit of tension there.
Beck, Cozzy and Limo. SAFM.